Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
Tries to win it. KU wins. The Missouri Tigers and the Kansas City Hawks.
Welcome, everybody, to the Border War podcast on the Kansas City Sports Network. We are presented by 360 Vodka. I'm Jarrett Sutton, joined, as always, by Jeff Hawkins. Jeff, what's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much, man. March Madness, Final Four, baby.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, coming down to do this podcast, I thought, gosh, we're talking about a Final Four. Yeah. Kansas is in it. It's great for locally, both of us living here in Kansas City. Exciting for college basketball fans. Excited for your alma mater, which now has the most. We got to just off the bat. I'll just let you puff your chest out, bro. Kansas with the most wins now. There it is.
I want to puff it too much, man. I might pack a bone or something. There we go.
You're part of a lot of those wins, dude. You're part of a lot of those wins.
A small part of them. Not a lot. Right, I don't know how many a lot. That's over 2,000, man. Just a itty-bitty.
Hey, just to start out, like, what's your thoughts on just the Final Four being these schools? Like, how cool is that? I mean, like, Villanova, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina. I mean, that's four big-time powerhouse basketball programs. That, to me, is in any sort of basketball fan, I think is going to be fired up about this Final Four.
For one, the NCAA has to be very happy.
Absolutely. Two, CBS is not. CBS is not. Why this Final Four is on TBS and not CBS, they're not, but continue.
Now, New Orleans, very happy. I mean, it's a great feel. Duke, North Carolina matchup, you know, Coach K's farewell, goodbye. Coach Williams is gone. You know, Hubert Davis, you know, is taking some heat. You know, he coached them all the way to the Final Four. So it's going to be fun to see that matchup. And, you know, that's a rival. So to see those two going at it. And then obviously you got, you know, KU and Villanova. And you know Villanova's history. And obviously they knocked KU out. And KU's obviously looking to want to get some revenge with Villanova. So that's going to be a heated, intense game. And it's just going to be a fun environment down in New Orleans, man.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm excited to get down there. I know you're going down now as well for NABC stuff. Yes. We're going to be down there as a staff in New Orleans, so I can't wait. It's supposed to be in like the 70s. It's going to be great weather. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, I did want to touch on just a lot's been made of the Villanova-Kansas matchup in the Final Four in 2018, and I would say that Kansas team was better suited to win a national championship than this Kansas team.
Oh, yeah.
They just went up against a buzzsaw in Villanova. I mean, that was Devontae Sfi, LeGerald, Malik, you know, when Malik was going off.
Yeah.
Kansas was a great – Doak was on that team, obviously. That's a great Kansas team that came off the Elite Eight winning against Duke, you know, with Grayson Allen and those guys. I think it was an overtime win, if I'm not mistaken, one of the better college basketball NCAA tournament games, Elite Eight games.
Yeah.
This year is so different in this matchup, right?
I'm like laughing like you say that. Yeah.
It's so different. And I really believe, like, I was just looking at Kansas's season, everything that's gone on, everything that's transpired. I have this thing that Kansas, this is the team of destiny this year. Yeah. And I think it has a lot to do with a couple things. Like, Ochai Agbaji said they're doing this for the 2020 team that couldn't play in the NCAA tournament. I think there's more to this. Like, yes, some teams have lost that's helped Kansas path, but like Justin Moore went down with an injury. Now you still can't overlook Villanova.
Yeah.
But even like the load, the wagons, right? Coach Self's dad passes away. I just think there's a lot of things that are just like going in Kansas's favor. And that's a good thing, 'cause there's been times where it hasn't gone in their favor. Are you getting that sense at all? Like, where are you at right now?
Hey, right now, man, I'm just riding the wave until the wave dies out, man. I don't want to get too high, don't want to get too low, but it does feel good to be a Jayhawk. Like, I mean, I walk into work, you know, once they get to the Final Four, and I have some Missouri fans that I work with, but they're great. Trust me, they're great. And they're like, geez, you're smiling today? All right, you're really smiling today. I'm like, not really. It's kind of my normal day, but it's a big deal. And I mean, Jayhawk fans are really kind of licking their chops. They think they have a really good shot. But, you know, still, it's still one game at a time. This Villanova team, like you said, with Justin Moore going down, who averages about 15 points for him. That's still, you still can't overlook this team. Team that's you go against Villanova, you know, they're well coached. Jay does a great job. And then, you know, they have Colin Gillespie, who's a proven winner as well, too, who's going to provide a lot of leadership and guidance to some of these younger guys who may not have been in a moment like this. So, but as a Jayhawk fan, you're excited. A lot of things you do feel, the load the wagon. A lot of those little deals, you really feel like they are playing for something that is more than just a national championship. It's something that's a little bit deeper, and I think Jayhawk fans are really starting to get onto it. I mean, I'm on board as well too. So it's exciting to be a Jayhawk for sure.
No doubt. Going into this matchup too, we were touching on just Justin Moore being out.
Yeah,
I had a chance to listen to Jay Wright today, and you know, I think what they're going to do is play Brian Antoine, who is a big time recruit coming out of high school and has been hammered with injuries throughout his career. And he's a really good guard, actually. Probably hasn't had the college career you would think. He's going to get an opportunity. Yeah. And so you can't overlook this team. I do expect Caleb Daniels to probably jump into the Justin Moore role, who's fully capable, who shoots close to 40% from three. The point being is Villanova's a machine. And it's next guy up. And I was just about to say, like, I hate to use the cliche, but there it's so true, man. I mean, like, they all are, it's not to call them like robots, but it's like they all know the system inside and out. And one guy going down, any other team, okay, I definitely am like, that's a big blow. And it still is their second leading scorer. And Justin did so much for that team. So it is still a loss. But there's just something about how Villanova operates. I think there's going to be guys that step up. So the point being is you and I know you're in this category. You cannot overlook Villanova at all.
Yeah,
they can beat you. And if they play their best game, they are frustrating because they don't make mistakes. And Kansas played their best half against Miami in that second half. That's a great sign going into the Final Four because Kansas has played tight. They've had slow starts. Ochai, I don't even want to call it a slump or funk. I think even Coach Self said, like, he's just not getting a lot of shots. He's just not getting a lot of looks. And they give Kansas credit. I mean, they found ways to win. Like, Providence came back, got a lead in the second half. Yeah. They call timeout, shut the door, run away with a win. Miami, they're down 6 at the half, second half. It's a totally different ball game. So going into this matchup, understanding the injury of Villanova, What was your takeaway after the Miami win in that second half? Is there anything that jumped out to you where you're thinking this could catapult them? And because as Coach Self said afterwards, now you're in the Final Four. Like, now you should be like, hey, we've made it here.
Yeah.
Now go play, is what he said. Yeah. I think that's a great point.
Yeah. And, you know, to me, I thought it was, you know, really defense. And if you go from offense, you know, transition, you know, their transition game really sparked. And which their defense, you know, only – holding Miami to 15 points in the second half. That goes to show you that they were locked in mentally from a defensive standpoint and physically. They were ready to go. They didn't care what may transpire or happen. They didn't care. You know, they just locked in, guarded, did whatever they had to do. And I think if they can guard that way, I mean, this is going to be a scary team if they can get locked in. Now, holding you know, these teams to 15 points, I mean, that's going to be tough. But if you lock in defensively like you did when you held Miami to 15 points, it's going to be tough for any team to score, especially if you can do that for a full game. That's going to be tough. So I think if they can lock in defensively, which is going to lead to them getting stops and be able to get out and run and in transition, and I think that's where CB and Ochai are really effective when they can get out and hit the wings and run and get that pitch ahead.
Yep. It was great to see David McCormick and Mitch Lightfoot play so well too. You know, especially Mitch coming back from the injury. David's had his inconsistencies at times, but you know, when David is good, as everybody knows, this team plays at a different level. Especially when, you know, he's efficient and finishing shots, finishing plays, making free throws. That to me is another big takeaway. Mitch, there's times and I didn't know how healthy Mitch would be going into these games. And even in the Providence game, like he went in the game and he plays so hard. He can block shots. He obviously knows what he's supposed to do, knows his job. He's a team first guy. And he just gave Kansas great minutes in that Miami game. But he gave him great minutes in the Providence game. I mean, you can throw Mitch out there for 6-7 minutes and he's going to do something positive. That's such a weapon for Bill Self that I think is underrated.
You're right. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, McCormick playing good. But I think, you know, moving forward, not only does McCormick have to play well, but I think Mitch does too. And because, you know, I think a lot of the time this season and a lot of Jayhawk fans, I heard them, you know, they get on McCormick. You know, McCormick, you know, I mean, you lose Doak, you lose a lot of bigs, and and McCormick's just forced to do it by himself. I totally understand, you know, where McCormick could probably be like, wow, I mean, it's just me, guys. Come on, relax. But I think he needs a supporting cast as a big, too. So when he's not in the game, I think Mitch, it's on both of them to be able to come up and play good. But I think if they could, you know, together at least just, you know, get at least 20 points together, 25 plus, and, you know, we're doing great. But I think if, you know, Mitch can come in and give some good minutes, it'll relieve a little pressure off of McCormick. And, you know, and they can kind of feed off each other, because I think when you got those bigs clicking and you can score down low, it just – I mean, you know, inside, outside, it just opens everything up for the outside and out of control closeouts. A lot of things transpire when you can score the ball on the inside.
Yep. One of the things I did want to touch on is Coach Self, I feel like, has called every right call, pushed every right button, made every right substitution, made every right timeout. Just going through these games, there's a reason why he's a Hall of Fame coach. And that jumped out to me. I think Kansas beat Providence in a lot of ways of how Bill Self tactically coached that game. I think then the Miami game, like throwing KJ Adams out there on Cam Augusta to close the half, another big, I mean, like that's just one example of him making a second half. He puts DeJuan, who's undersized, on Cam, and DeJuan was fantastic defensively. So I just feel like, you know, this team, everything is, although they've had moments in the tournament where they just haven't looked good offensively, or they've just been sluggish, they still find ways to win games. And I think that's a testament to this team, is they can win in different ways. And that's a good thing. And you saw Ochai go for 18 in the Miami game. Christian played solid, but Jalen and Remy, you know, they played a good role, but the guys that really carried them were David, Christian, and Ochai.
Yeah.
And the games prior, it's been Remy, it's been Jalen. So you're getting contributions from everybody in different ways, and you've been able to win games. To me, that is a really good sign. Like, touching on the 2018 team, they had just had a lot of firepower. Like, you knew, like, man, Kansas can do this. But this team, it was like they're a one seed. And they have every chance in this tournament. And now you're starting to think, man, this could be just their march. And this could be a destiny for them.
Yeah, you've made some very great points, Jared. And I think that the deal with this team is that they're hard to scout kind of right now. Like you said, Ochai.
Yep.
Yeah, he wasn't a really funk, you know. I agree. You know, he was just tough for him to get shots, and I think it was tough for him and CB to get shots because of how well Remy was playing. They were just kind of in the back seat, like, all right, go for it, Remy. It's your show right now, because they, you know, they've carried the team so much this year, but they're a hard team to scout when you don't know who's really gonna go off. And I think the, you know, to me, it's Remy. To me, Remy, especially in the tournament, has been the difference maker for this team. And I think it's the Remy that everybody's been wanting to see all year long, the Remy that you saw at Arizona State. But I think Remy, you know, that him playing with such fearlessness, man, I think that just changes the whole complex of how they are being scouted, because you can focus in on Remy, but if you focus in on Remy, then now you have to worry about CB and Ochai. And if you focus on CB and Ochai, I mean, you can't forget about Jalen. I mean, you can't forget about DeJuan as well. So, I mean, right now they're a hard team to scout, and guys that are coming off the bench are doing some good minutes. And you mentioned Coach Self and his tactics and just how he gets them prepared. You know, that move with KJ Adams, I think that was almost like a momentum game saver, because, you know, Miami had the ball, and that was a huge stop at the end. And, you know, they were just – I think it was McGusty, right, had the ball. And he was heating up. He was a problem in the first half. And when, you know, they put KJ Adams on him, and he couldn't get a shot off. And KJ Adams actually went up and almost blocked his shot with two hands. That's just how aggressive he was on that defensive stop. But I think that gave Kansas the momentum and the push they needed defensively. Like, let's lock up defensively. We can do this. And then they come out with a second half. But I think you got to credit Coach Self for making that small adjustment. To me, that made such a big, huge impact for the game.
One of the things we get used to hearing is if you're playing bad in the first half and you come out and play better in the second half, well, the coach must have really yelled at you and got into you. In the locker room, I thought it was so interesting that Ochai post-game said that Coach Self came in and he was very calm, that he was very, you know, just stone-faced a little bit of this is what we got to do offensively and defensively. And it wasn't like anger or frustration or calling guys out. Awesome. It was, you know, we're good, and this is what we got to do. And I think there was a little bit of like a, we can go do this. It wasn't a, you know, one of these things where sometimes that's okay to get after your guys. And you and I have probably gone through that quite a bit at different times, but I just thought it was an interesting move for Coach Self. I love the move of, hey, we're down six. We just got a big stop. That team, to me, all it needed was some confidence at half, like just to kind of catapult you up. We're right there. We're going to get over this hump. We're going to make a couple adjustments, and this is what we're going to do. And then they went out and executed it flawlessly. And yes, they made shots, but the halftime conversation, I am always interested in, if a team is playing really bad and then they can play a totally different half, what was the message? And so many times people go to, well, he must have just ripped the paint off the wall. And sometimes that's not actually the case. And in this situation, Coach Self, I thought, handled it perfectly of what he told his team and how they came out and adjusted, which is a huge part of college basketball or just basketball in general, is making adjustments in game. And Kansas did that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's also too with, you know, just Coach Self knowing his team. And maybe him getting a little older, you know. Maybe him just getting a little
spoken older, like a true former player that played for him. That's right.
You know, getting a little older in his time, getting a little wiser, you know. But you know, I think that's so cool to hear, because I've definitely been in some halftime speeches with Coach Self, and where you weren't doing too well, and then, you know, he gives you one of those good speeches, and you know, here you come, you know. So. But I think that's very cool that, you know, Coach Self can, you know, he understands this team. And I think in a moment like that, you know, he's been to that Final Four, seen a while, as well as winning a national championship. So he kind of knows, I think, in those moments, especially when he can feel and know that his team cares. They care about, you know, the season. They care about working hard. They care about trusting them. You know, I think he feels that he doesn't have to get on him, because I've seen a lot of games, even just from watching from afar. You know, Coach Self still gets on his team. Don't get me wrong. He gets on his team. But there's been some times I'm like, geez, you know, he's about to rip them. I'm looking in the huddle and he's smiling and laughing. I'm like, okay, all right. This is something new. So, but I think that's cool, because, you know, that's one thing that coaches have the power. You know, when the team thinks the coach is mad and the coach comes in happy, you know, sometimes that can boost the team up, and vice versa, you know. So I think, you know, Coach Self does a really good job of balancing that, knowing his players and knowing kind of what they feed off of. And I think that's kind of you know, contributes to a success.
Yep.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He does. Everybody's on their toes, right? They don't know what to expect. Yeah, right? House coach self gonna handle this or that, right?
Yep. That's how you do it. Stay on your toes.
That's
man.
True. That's true. Keeps everybody, you know, ready and, you know, I guess trying to find a way to win a game. You always got to kind of have your feet going and have a little bit of an open mind to what's going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, so always guessing. Always guessing.
That's right. Always guessing. No question. Hey, Jeff, one of the things I'm looking for in this game, just with Villanova being, first of all, they've had a short bench throughout the tournament. They've played seven guys, so now it's going to be six, maybe seven again if they play a guy that hasn't played a lot. But look, this Villanova team scored 50 points to beat Houston. So they can win a game ugly. Yeah. And one of the things that I think is going to be interesting in this game is the foul discrepancy and who is going to the free throw line. Villanova is a great free throw shooting team. Like they shoot close to 80% from the line as a team. And almost everybody that plays is over 78%, and the guys that mainly shoot them are in the upper 80s and 90s. So you want to keep them off the free throw line. You touched on Kansas' defense, and it's true. Like, their defense has bailed them out more times than not in this tournament when they've had to count on it. That their defense has come through for them. They have to keep defending. They cannot put Villanova on the free throw line. Yeah. That is the most important thing. And then vice versa. To me, if I'm Kansas, I attack. And because Villanova – is going to be, they're not going to have the bodies. So if you get them in foul trouble, that can change the game as well. So I think both sides, I'm curious how the whistle goes and who's going to the line and what that looks like. Cause I think that's could possibly be a big impact in this game for both teams.
Yeah, you said it right. KU, they're going to have to play without fouling. And while they have to play without fouling, I think this is a unique team. The unique thing with great defensive teams is they can play without fouling and they can still pressure the ball. So if KU can do that, I think that's another way. They're not as deep. You got a chance to tire out their guards with Gillespie, with Harris, you know, pick them up, play, you know, guard them without fouling, pressure them, tire them out. They're not as deep. And then, like you said, on the offensive end, attack, try to get to the free throw line, which every time you get to the free throw line, that means they've committed a foul. And if they don't have a deep bench, that's to your advantage. And I think KU definitely needs to take advantage of them not really, you know, digging too deep into their bench. And, you know, KU has shown that they can dig deep into their bench. And I think Coach Self will feel confident if he has to go deep into his bench with some of those guys. So I think they need to again, pressure the ball without fouling. I think that's the key. Pressure, 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 but without fouling. If you guys can do that, get the ball, run it. You get the ball out in transition and run them, have them sprinting the whole game. And when you're in a half court setting, just be aggressive, attack the rim, get them in the air, get them off balance, do whatever you have to do to get them to commit cheap fouls. I mean, at this point, you want to do whatever you can to win, whether it's, you know, sometimes playing a little ugly game or, you know, playing a little game that's a little bit out of your style just to mix things up. So, but I think KU is going to be ready for this game. I think it's going to be a fun game. Villanova is going to be ready for this game, but I'm just excited. It's Final Four. So you got to expect both of these teams to be locked in, feeling the love that they've gotten from their fans and, you know, their communities. And they're going to be ready to, both teams are going to be ready to go, man.
You think there's, I will say, I got to give a shout out to Kansas fans too. They were great. I was in Chicago for the McDonald's All-American games, and there was the Kansas fans came through on Sunday because they were all at United Center, and it felt like that environment that, you know, like the first couple rounds, it just felt like basketball fans in the arena, and Kansas fans came to play in that Elite Eight. There were a lot of them on my flight back to Kansas City, and there were a lot of happy fans flying back to KC from Chicago and all the crimson and blue. There's going to be so many fans down in New Orleans. I'm so excited to get down there. But this is going to be a little bit different because we're playing in the Caesars Dome, the Mercedes-Benz Dome, as most people remember it as in New Orleans. It's a football venue. So it's, you got to get used to that. And I'm curious to get your experience because obviously you've been in Final Fours. You've played in Final Fours. Is that a real adjustment is my question. Like when you go to a venue, is it just like riding a bike and everything's, or is it different? Yeah. And it's almost like the Hickory, scene in Hoosiers where it's like, it's still this, everything's the same. But to me, that's what it would be like in a Final Four, especially playing in a football venue.
Yeah. I mean, it was the same. Like, did it look different? You know, normally you used to play in a gym where you make a layup, you maybe take a few steps, you might be able to touch the wall, you run back. Right. Well, you know what? If you make a layup in some of those arenas, I mean, you might have to run for about 50, 60 yards before you can get to the other side and touch a wall, maybe even further than that. So, but to me, it never bothered me. I just always had a shooter mentality, people would always say it messes up your shot. Well, I was always curious, you know, when you go, you get to practice before you play. So you get on there, you shoot when you're like, the rim still feels the same. Okay. Yep. Let's just shoot. So I think if you let it get in your head, it will get in your head and it will mess with your head. But if you're like, nah, that don't bother me. It's just another gym with a basket. I mean, this is the deal, Jared. If you played outside, if you grew up playing outside as a hooper, that is not going to bother you. Yeah. Come on, man. I'm used to making shots outside in the park. Come on.
It's no bigger backdrop. And the double rims.
There's no bigger backdrop than that, man. There's no bigger backdrop than that. So
if you can play that, you can play in anything.
Yeah, man. You can shoot at anything. So, I mean, it goes. You'll find out who shoots outside, who's been a hooper on the outside, and who's just been on the inside in the gym. But
that's right.
To me, it never bothered me. It never did.
When we played in Glendale, we were in the Elite Eight. We were going to the Sweet 16. It was a Sweet 16 game first, and we played at the Arizona Cardinals football stadium in Glendale. And I mean, the venue's incredible. And when you were you basically had to run from like the end zone to the other end zone to get on the court. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're just running from our locker room. Yeah. So to your point, like we must have ran like 100 yards.
And they have like half of it blocked off too. Yeah, you're like,
yes, exactly.
Not even using half of the whoa.
Right. Okay. Like, man, we're running pretty far to just get on the floor. But it's true. Like once you get through a practice, like you're locked in and it's you're on the floor. So it is different, but it's everything that surrounds it. Like before you get on the floor, you definitely feel it. And then
you feel it. Because it's such, I mean, it's such a huge venue. You're like, whoa. And then there's like, I forget, like when we went to the practices, I think there was like 20,000 plus just to watch you practice once you get to like the final. It might even been more. I mean, but it was a lot. I mean, it was just so, you just look around and you're just like, whoa, this is crazy. But when, you know, as a player, when you hop on the court, it's just like you're zoned in. Like that outside is, I mean, you only see it when you're not focused with a ball in your hand or getting instruction. So to me, it never bothered me, but you could definitely, I agree with you, you could tell the size of the venue when you hop in there. You're like, whoa, like this ain't no ordinary gym.
This is different. The one thing that I think is good, and I know a lot of coaches still do this, is in those type of venues, you use your practice time and the practices that are open to the public. Yeah. It's all shooting. And then you go practice at a high school or some, and that's more game planning strategy. Yep. You're actually going through your actual practice. And I think that's good. I think it's smart. Cause then once you're on the floor, you don't have to worry so much about the practicing. It's more just getting used to everything.
Got to make one shot.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Everybody make one shot. Let's go.
Yep, that's exactly right. So these games are going to be exciting. And I think the other side of the bracket too is fascinating. We got to talk about like Duke, North Carolina, first time in the NCAA tournament. Coach K last games.
Yeah, dude.
And then you got Hubert Davis, first year head coach. Like it's just, this whole thing is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, it is.
You know, the whole year and then how it's playing out. And I wouldn't sleep on North Carolina at all. You know,
four of these teams, I think, are capable of winning the national championship.
Yeah. And look, everybody's talking about Duke. And I don't even think they like that it's so much of it is about Duke, because it's just it's probably the Coach K factor talking a little bit.
Yeah.
Here.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't overlook Villanova, Kansas, or North Carolina in any way, like at all. And North Carolina, to me, like I saw North Carolina at the beginning of the year, and I thought, oh my gosh, they're so talented. But they were all over the place. Like they had agendas, and they were not playing team ball at all. They could not handle adversity at all. They got blitzed by Villanova. It was in South Carolina, and then they also got beat pretty badly by Tennessee.
Yeah,
and so they were bad both games. And I thought this team, they'll be okay. They're going to underachieve, and then here they are. Yeah. So you give them a ton of credit for just just weathering the storm and getting through. And that's going to be. Is there any, not to look ahead, but is there anybody you would want to see in the national championship game? Because I think Duke or North Carolina. Yeah. No matter what,
like
Duke's got probably more NBA talent for sure, but I think North Carolina is still a team that could win it themselves.
The proper answer. When you sign up for Kansas, you take whoever's ahead. No, just
that's right. That's right. That's right.
No, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, both of those teams to me are very, very scary, and I feel like if you choose one of them, that means you're thinking one is lesser than the other one. And if you get that opponent, that means you might be overlooking them a little bit. So I'm like, I don't know, man. I think either way, I don't know, man. Jeez. I don't like to say I don't know that much. I don't let my son say I don't know, but I am saying I don't know. That's a tough one. All right, North Carolina. There we go.
There you go. Awesome. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. I would say the thing about Duke too, man, is I when I think about them, I did not expect them like a week before conference tournaments, maybe 2 weeks before conference tournaments. I thought they were too young. I thought they were very talented, but I just didn't think they could close. And I thought they would get punched and not be able to, and they have. I mean, they give them credit. Like they've played, and that Arkansas team was dangerous and tough, and they handled Arkansas wire to wire.
Yeah.
And that was an impressive win. So they're a dangerous team at the right time. We said this last week, it's all about peaking, and all these teams are peaking at the right time.
You mentioned fighting for something, Duke. They're fighting for a Coach K, man. They want him to go. Like those players want him to go out in style.
Tell me, there's not pressure on those guys. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You, especially when you're a freshman and you're in the Final Four.
And you don't know any better. Yeah.
You don't know any better.
We have to, Coach. We have to.
We got to send Coach out with a championship.
I think Coach K would be okay going out making it to the Final Four. I know he wants it all. Absolutely. I know he wants it all. He's like, hey, my last year Final Four.
Absolutely. That's the coaching part of it. I'm sure that's been said to them. But the players, you know, they're like, we're sending him out.
Yeah, you need the whole thing, coach.
That's
you
right.
need the whole thing. So that's it's right. a great field, man. It's a great field.
I do want to touch on a couple things on the Mizzou side. We got our special guest is back. He heard you saying, I don't know, Jeff. That's why he came in. I don't know.
Are you hiding, Atticus?
I did want to touch on the Mizzou side real quick. Coach Gates is going to be down at the Reese's senior all-star game in New Orleans. So that's a great honor for him.
Yeah.
He did lock up a couple commits, which I think are exciting. Mohamed Diarra from Garden City Community College. He's a JUCO player, one of the top JUCO players. It was a good get from 6'10", lanky, power forward. And then DeAndre Golston from Wisconsin Milwaukee, who is a good guard that I think is going to give them some some. I feel like there's a ghost in the room. I really do. I feel like
you must have heard me talking about this ghost screen action.
There you go. There you go. But I do think with Mizzou they got some transfers on the docket too. They have returners. I think they need to keep Kobe and Caleb Brown.
Yeah.
Possibly Dejuan Gordon. But a lot of transfers are in the portal, five from Mizzou. But there are some targets out there that I think are really interesting that Coach Gates has been in on. Terrence Shannon for one from Texas Tech, who put his name in. Everybody's going to talk about Xavier Pinson, the former Mizzou point guard that went to LSU. He's thinking of coming back. I think that's a real possibility. Yeah. Andre Curbelo's in the portal. From, you know, there's a lot of Sean McNeil, West Virginia. I mean, there's some players there. I do think a lot of this is NIL based it's just a different world, Jeff. It's crazy. Like, I think people that are the
Coach
players
Gates
that are in,
get them NIL deals ready,
that's,
man.
That's
huh?
right. That's right. You better be on top of it.
You got to.
All these guys are seeking it and
they're leaving schools because of it.
That's right. And obviously they have the chance to go back. They put their name in the portal, but I do think it's interesting that, you know, they're all seeking something. Yeah. And that's a big part of it. And it's free agency right now.
Yes.
Which makes I think it makes college basketball that much more fun. Because every team is gonna follow the offseason and every team thinks their team is gonna completely be retooled and ready to go next year. I mean, I think
it's literally like free agency, man, for real.
I think that's what makes this so exciting. I just think I'm like, man, we're doing this. K-State's doing this.
Yeah.
Like there's all these schools, especially, you know, with first year head coaches where they're going to look to the transfer market.
Oh yeah. They're like, they're right in there. Uh-huh.
Oh
yeah.
Man. Hey, I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Look.
That's right. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in some of those conversations. Cause I mean, man, there's a lot to do. Number one, he's got to put a staff together. That's hard enough. So,
So look,
there's going to be a lot of things to digest in New Orleans. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah.
Excited for these games. I know you'll be down there cheering on the Jayhawks.
Heck yeah.
We might be talking about a national championship game or a national championship as well next week. So
who knows?
Safe travels, Jeff, to New Orleans.
For sure.
I look forward to
you
hopefully
too, man.
Seeing
you too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hopefully,
we'll
hopefully
link
see
up.
Down.
We'll link up. Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully see you down there, man. it's gonna be fun.
You bet. You betcha.
All right, Jeff. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you guys.